Right, I think that we are good to go. I'm Philip Knight.
And I'm Vicky Want.
And we are the underwriting team at Acid Advantage, and you are listening to Acid Advantage Out Loud. So, we're back for another episode, and we've upgraded our equipment. We're proper podcasters now. We're sitting here with big microphones.
Big headphones.
Big headphones and some kit. So, let's crack on. This podcast is called The Simple Things in Life. So we're just going to go through a few sort of simple prop-related things. Kind of a little bit of a spin on the podcast number 2, where we went through our sort of top 10. So this might be a little bit shorter. Apologies if we're repeating anything, but I don't think we have. The first section we're going to repeat is the good, the bad, and the ugly. So the good thing is people are apparently, Victoria, listening to our
actually
podcast.
Actually listening.
Which is really good. And we've had at least one introducer say to us, I heard on your podcast, do you want to see a schedule of debt? So lo and behold.
Since then, we've seen a schedule of debt with each proposal.
Yeah. So so that's great. So thank you for everybody for listening to the podcast and actually listening to what we're saying rather than just flicking it off after the first few seconds. So that's a good thing. Bad thing is just ready to mention HMRC debt and time to pay. It's real debt that a customer has, but it's difficult for us as lenders to find out whether businesses have got HMRC debt. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, you're quite big about seeing it in
bank statements
because
rounded up payments. Yeah, and fairly regular payments.
So we're always on the lookout for debt. So an HMRC is obviously a creditor for some businesses, and the amount of time to pay arrangements, I suspect, is increasing. And we've certainly had a few deals sort of fall over at the last minute because it turns out the customer has got a very large amount of HMRC debt. And as those regular users of Acid Advantage will be aware, we do ask customers to provide us a letter confirming that they haven't got any HMRC debt. So it's worth asking the question when you're first contacting a customer, certainly if the deal's coming to us. I suspect that other lenders will start to look at it. So that's the bad. And then the ugly is kind of not really prop related. It's more economy related. And item on Today program on Radio 4 this morning, they were speaking to the leader of Nottingham City Council, and it was just a whole litany of problems and issues they've got around funding. And so I think we're quite keenly aware here that there are businesses that are pretty tied to local authority spending. And so it's going to be interesting, and I don't mean interesting in a good way, as to how those businesses might be affected by cuts in local authority spending over the next year. I think historically we would have looked at customers that had local authority contracts in a positive way.
I think that's true.
Because you think it's a creditor that they're, or a debtor rather, that is going to, you can be certain they're going to be paid. I think the problem is less about them businesses being paid by councils, more about councils just cutting contracts that they might have with them. So, yeah, that's the good, the bad, and the ugly. So, on to the main bit of the podcast, the simple things in life. So, this is just a list, really, of little things that kind of would make our life easier. I suppose ultimately, it's all about us, isn't it? It is really all about us.
Obviously.
So, the first little thing that would be really useful for us is around the naming of files, Excel files, for example, that we get sent in. It would be really cool if you could name the file or give the file a name that relates to what it is. Quite often we get, say, 4 or 5 bank statement files, which have just got the download file from the bank. And so it's really difficult for us to know what that file contains. You've got to click into it. It'd just be great if it just said, bank statement, February 2024, or cash flow forecast, or just a short description of what the actual file is. Only a small thing.
Well, not only does it help us, but it also helps who's loading our deals onto our systems so that they can then file them in the correct place. So then when it gets to us, we can also access it very quickly and easily.
Yep. Yep. And I don't suppose we're the only people who that would benefit. Probably help you as well. You as in the introducers, the listeners. Second quick one is just the source of the proposal. It's quite often missing as to where you've got proposals from or where brokers have got proposals from.
Yeah, sometimes you can guess if it's a supplier-led deal.
Yeah, yeah.
But other times it's just appears very random.
And we do use that information in terms of the approvals decisions we make. If it's somebody that you've known, that a broker's known for a long time, then I think we're kind of a little bit warmer to a deal.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a supplier-led deal, then we're a little bit more forgiving in terms of conditions sometimes, or acknowledging that we don't, can't necessarily get the information.
Absolutely.
Hopefully I've just edited that cough out. here's one bugbear of mine. Borrower name in the subject section of an email.
Yeah, and I always try to remember to change it, but quite often I forget.
Yeah, so we're as guilty as the people who are sending us emails of sometimes sending an email back without putting the customer name in, but we do try to do it. It's super, super helpful because Vicky and I are looking at loads of deals. So if you can, when you're sending a reply to us, if we've forgotten, or if you're just sending an email in as a sort of follow-up around a customer, it's really helpful if you just put the customer name in. Proposals too. Proposals at assetadvantage.co.uk. That sounds a very Asset Advantage specific thing, and it obviously is. But I do think it's important that you understand, that people appreciate that all of the lenders have got kind of workflows. So if you can get it into the right workflow at the lender, then you're invariably going to get a swifter answer. If you send it to a BDM and expect them to send it on, then they might not be there. Or
to our new business team.
So I think sending it, making sure you just send proposals to the right workflow place helps lenders. Related to that is trying to get all the information into the first email or the first contact you have with a lender about a proposal, I think is really important. Certainly works for us. It makes the whole process of decision-making quicker because we haven't got to go. If we haven't got all the information in a proposal, then we're going back automatically and asking for more information. So that's going to add delay to the whole process. That stands to reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier for us to underwrite a transaction where we've got all of the information at the outset. Where you're flicking between emails or different files and you're trying to see, why did I ask that question? Why have I got this extra information? It just delays the whole process.
It's basically a total re-underwrite because your head has moved on to 5, 10, 15 other proposals that are completely different from that proposal, and then you've got to get your head back into that deal.
So right.
And ask why you asked, remember why you asked all those questions.
Yeah, I've sometimes got bits of info and gone, why have that been sent? Oh yeah, you sent that because I asked that question. Why did I ask that question? Yeah.
Yep.
And you kind of, and it seems a bit unfair to then bump that deal back to the top of the queue if another introducer has sent in all of the information. So yeah, getting that first shot in with all of the info, really important, I think. Teams calls, so Teams videos calls, I'm talking about Microsoft Teams. We like introducers to set those up for us. So if we're asking for a Teams call, our expectation is that the broker sets the call up for us. And that's not just because we're lazy, but it's really around you having the better contacts and knowing who's the right person at the customer to speak to. And also customer availability tends to be harder, I think, than our availability.
I think that's true. Normally we'll fit in with the customer.
Yeah. So our preference is expectation is that you arrange those Teams calls. So just a little bit of clarity in managing expectations on those. Now I've got one here, know your audience, which is a little bit vague, but I think it's around kind of understanding the process, the workflow process that the lender is going to go through when your prop hits them. So understanding who's going to look at the proposal and what decisions are, you know, is the proposal going straight to a decision maker, which is the case at Asset Advantage. So props, well, they do get looked at by Alex, but essentially the underwriting is done by Vicky and me. And that's it. There is no huge team of 20 underwriters. I think that should inform how props come to us. And that approach to proposals and the information you provide might be different to a lender where maybe the proposal is going to go to a junior underwriter who's going to write it up and send it to a more senior underwriter who may then well be writing it up even further and sending it up to a director. I think understanding the workflows quite useful and enables you to help the underwriter get to an approval, which is essentially what I think it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sense checking the information you're sending us. There are times when it's clear to us that nobody has actually looked at the info that they've sent us. Would you say yeah. That's not too harsh, is it?
No, I don't think so. I think that's true.
Because coming back to that point about trying to get in all of the information to us on the first email is if we get info that hasn't been sense checked, we have to go back and check it.
Or sometimes it's a really useful bit of information, but you didn't actually know why you had it. And if it was just explained why you've got that bit of information.
Yes.
It pieces the jigsaw puzzle together.
Yeah, absolutely. Not copying text from customers' websites. It's kind of another little bugbear of mine that raises my blood pressure when I see just what does the business do? And it's just being copied from the website. I kind of understand why people do it because it's easy. And I suppose there is an assumption that, well, what the customer does surely is what they're saying on the website. But it's not always true because quite often websites are built by marketing people or built by website designers. So people who are actually running the business may well not have had much input into what goes onto the website. Quite often what's on websites is a little bit vague. And we're trying to, the reason we really want to know what the business does is we're trying to cross-reference that business model with the accounts. It's all about us understanding the accounts. So it's absolutely critical that we understand how the business makes its money. And so we're not asking for a 10,000 word essay.
Not at all, but it does go back to what we talked about in, I think you were saying in the second podcast, is that the information that is actually gained via a telephone call with the customer is more crucial to us than what's found on their website. Because actually there's information that the customer tells a broker, but the broker thinks is obvious, so doesn't bother writing it down. But actually it wasn't obvious at all, and it's really helpful.
Yeah. Absolutely. We can go onto the customer's website, but we can't have had that first contact with the customer where they told you in simple terms what they did. And the last one is something I think I mentioned earlier, actually, is just that there's just two of us underwriting at Asset Advantage. So from time to time, you do have to bear with us around the amount of work we've got. But also that can work to your advantage because you know the two people who are going to be looking at your deals and you kind of know what we like and what we don't like. And hopefully that can work to your advantage. And I think that is all I've got to say. Is there anything, other simple things that you think introducers could do to make our lives a little bit easier? Or actually to facilitate approvals, which really is what this is all about. It's not actually about making mine and your life easier. It's actually about trying to get to approvals, which is really what we want to do. Our business is about shoveling money out the door. How many times have I said that? And so we really want to approve stuff. And so all of this nonsense on the podcast is really about trying to help people give us deals that we can approve. And we are extremely keen to approve stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
So thank you. Hopefully you found some of those interesting. Some of them may even be controversial. You've been listening to Asset Advantage Out Loud.